This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The music just started. I went to Noelle in the talkback and went, "Is that Christopher Cross?" And she gave me the two thumbs up. I went, "I can guess that song and no beats."
Of course that's Christopher Cross.
Well, now you can tell it's Christopher Cross.
I could tell it from the beginning.
Well, you didn't say nothing. I beat you. Man. Control of the board stays with me.
I didn't know it was a competition.
Yeah, well, you just got to pay attention. Sam and Greg.
Blow a whistle, a wave a flag or something.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. It's a Saturday morning, February the 8th. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning. Shout out to everybody that's helping folks out in Carrollton.
Out in Carrollton, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Right by the alma mater.
Yeah, that's why I threw that out there.
Great folks out there in Carroll County.
Before we get into this other stuff, can I get rid of some, this isn't really insignificant information, it's just, you know, stuff, birthdays, and one thing that happened on this day that people listening to us will remember. But happy 35th birthday, Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
kind of disappeared this year and really became irrelevant after last week with that trade going on between Luka. You thought that when you say it out loud, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, and Luka Doncic in Dallas, that sounds like a team that's going to vie for at least being a part of the championships.
Yeah, you would think. But no, he's not that Klay Thompson.
No, he's not.
Not that Klay Thompson.
A year older, happy 36th birthday, Julio Jones.
Okay.
Julio Jones. Bruno Mars, favorite buddy. Anderson .Paak, 39 today.
Okay.
You know who the Big Show is? You're a wrestling fan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at Noel. You guys, happy birthday. Happy, 53rd, something like that. Happy birthday to the Big Show. Also, okay, I got to watch when I say this.
Okay.
I used to call him his Luca Brasi. And I actually believe that to be the case, but I won't say it out loud. But Pat Riley, if Pat Riley had a Luca Brasi, it would be this dude. Happy birthday to Alonzo Mourning.
Okay. I can believe that.
We lost him in 2010. Gary Coleman.
Okay.
Would have been his birthday today. And for Motley Crue fans, Vince Neil. There you go. And for those of you of a certain age, where were you on this day as you sat and watched NBA All-Star Weekend and this guy that a lot of people didn't know about? From the Atlanta Hawks, won the slam dunk contest. Today was the day that Spud Webb, in front of a sitting Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And Neek was in it, but he told everybody, y'all not going to believe what you're going to see. And nobody believed it. Spud Webb won the slam dunk contest.
Yep.
On this day in 86.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Always a fan favorite here in Atlanta.
So,
yeah.
There you go. And let's continue the basketball talk. I don't know where you want to start, with the trades or what's going on with this, where they are right now.
Well, with this Hawks team, because I think that's what a lot of people here locally now say, okay, we've seen the dust settle from the trades. And so what do we have? And what direction are we going? What does it say about the direction of this team? Or does it say anything at all? And what does that mean to the players that remain with this team are going to have to play out the rest of this season, especially the one that wears number 11? What message does it send to him? And, you know, does he want to stay and be a part of another kind of rebuild or reincarnation? And, I mean, the pieces are in place. If you had a healthy Jalen Johnson, you got Zach Risacher, who's showing you things. And by the way, congrats, he's invited to compete in the skills competition. He and his homeboy Alex Sarr are going to compete together in that at the All-Star weekend. So it's great that the Hawks will have some representation there, right? So that's going to be great. And obviously you pick up a guy in Dyson Daniels. The idea is, can you attract another Dyson Daniels-type character to this team? You know, you want that guy. I mean, everybody says, let's get the big-name superstar. Well, those guys are probably on the other side of 30, and they decided where they want to be chasing championship. How can you get a guy like a Dyson Daniels who has the makings of a really star player in this league to come and be a part of what's happening here in Atlanta? He's a terrific pickup for this team. So how do you get another guy like him that's on the way up? I think it's what we
and
look
for. And your thought last week was you were worried about a Kongu being taken by the Lakers.
I really was.
You were right.
And you were right on the money, Sam, because instead of coming here, they went down to the Hornets. But you were right on the money.
Yep, they had to get a big dude. They had to.
Yep, you know, I mentioned that to some of the media down at, you know, at the game Wednesday night, and the looks of horror came on their face. No. I said, he's a perfect fit. He's from LA, went to Southern Cal and whatnot. They need somebody in the middle. But they pulled down the Williams from up in Charlotte. Let's see what happens with that.
Noelle, you were about to jump on in. Oh, she got.
No, 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 I'm here. I'm with you.
No, no, I saw you put the headphones on. We started talking Hawks and the trade and all that, and where they are right now.
What does it say about, you know, in your opinion, what does it say about the direction of this team? Does any of it give a direction?
I'm going to get dramatic here.
Uh-oh.
I am terrified of the Supermax.
Really?
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
That to me is the number one question. Now, when I saw the trades, I was like, because I wanted something more impactful right now. But they were able to take one active player that ain't been active in weeks and turn them into three players. They waived one. They already waived one. Turn into three players. Terrence Mann seems really excited to be here. His defense has been off the charts this season. You got some 3-and-D wing guys with, you know, long wingspan and all that good stuff. It's stuff that does fit around Trey, right? So once I got out of my poo-poo phase because I wanted you to make a shot to go get Kevin Durant, now we're in a situation.
What?
Yeah, no. yeah, make a push. But now you're in a situation. Well, I mean, he probably would have only been here, like, the rest of this year and then one other season. But, you know, make a push. Get a name. But now that it's shaken out the way it is shaken out, the big question is, for the league, what's going to happen with Kevin Durant and what is going to happen with Trae Young?
Okay, so let me ask you, since you started this, your thoughts on what people are saying, Hawks fans that I talked to this past week, basketball fans that follow Trae Young. By the way, did you see that okey-doke, the banana in the tailpipe that San Antonio pulled on the Hawks with Wembley at the free throw line? Instead of going for the two free throws, he threw the second one right up there. But the speculation.
And Big O got the stop.
Yeah.
And they call it a foul. I'm with O. He like 8 feet tall, man. You got to give me that. I'm with O. I can't believe y'all called that at the end of the game. Come on, I got him on the wrist. He like 8 foot tall, man. Come on.
That Trae Young is just sitting back. Not by – he's not doing this on purpose. I'm saying as he remains with this Hawks team, there are some fans who feel like he is in waiting for another team that's going to make a playoff run and give the Hawks – whatever they need as far as moving forward to take him off their hands so they can make, you know, that final push. And I was like, well, listen, it's limited as opposed to a number of other players because he is nothing more than a point guard. You've got to need a point guard. So that's what people are saying. He, you know, he's going to stick around here. He's going to play this out. And somebody will grab him at the end of the season possibly to help them with their playoff run. Your thoughts to that?
End of the season?
No, this is not going to happen.
I'm saying that, I'm talking about moving down the road. So if he's going to be with the Hawks this year, I'm saying going forward. So maybe next year or whatever. But are you saying the alternative to that is you think that he's going to seek a place someplace else to play?
I mean, people are reading that in the tea leaves because doesn't that just make sense? I mean, you sat here 6 and 7 years. You know, if you feel like they haven't been able to build a team around you, if you're Trae Young and you feel like it's more of the front office not being able to build around you than you yourself, then wouldn't that be the next logical choice?
And you
to be like, go find me a trade partner?
Yeah. So, in other words, we're just throwing our arms up and saying, these guys obviously can't build a team around me.
Well, and that's why I said last week the Luka Doncic trade opens the Hawks and Trae Young up for whatever it is they want to do. The Hawks can say, I don't want to pay the Supermax, and Trey can say, I don't want you to.
Yeah. That's the thing. That trade last weekend makes anything possible.
Anything is possible.
That trade makes
so then that's
possible.
What we should be talking about. What did that trade, now that the dust has settled, as you'd like to say.
And that's the question I'm asking.
What are we looking at right now when we look at the NBA?
That's what I'm asking.
End of that period of time where player empowerment was ever present. From LeBron to Chris Paul to Canelo, all them dudes, right? And they were apparently running a show, along with Maverick Carter and all them boys in the background. And what happened this past week, if you want to believe what people are saying and what we're seeing, is the NBA owners took their league back. And we're not going to discuss things with you. I don't care what kind of superstar you think you are. We're not going to tell you where. We're not even going to give you a hint of it. And we're going to do what we do when we do it. You got dude who's the GM down there in Dallas, got had to hire security.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
walking around. He don't want to go to the games. And because, you know, Anthony Davis was in the press conference afterwards. And talk, you know, just everybody calm down. I'm here to help you. This is basketball we're talking about.
Well, and if the owners, because this is what it tells me, the owners are deciding. This is just what I see from just what played out this trade deadline, right? This tells me that these owners are definitely aware of this second apron and Supermax situation. And they are deciding, maybe not soon enough. We may see decisions like this, triggers like this pulled sooner as this goes on. But they are deciding early in the situation whether or not they're going to pay this Supermax. You're talking about $350 million that was on the table for Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Are you worth that? And from what I can tell in Dallas, they look for any reason not to pay it. It's conditioning.
Oh, there, that situation,
it's conditioning,
yeah.
But it's going to be more situations because that's what it is.
But the key is to what you said, the owners are deciding.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're not being held, their feet aren't being held to the fire like during the – this is going to come up like a period, like maybe you call it the steroids era or whatever, but the player empowerment era in the NBA. And by the way, the face that you wanted to see this past week with a Scooby-Doo look on it, I don't care what he's saying right now, was Jimmy Butler.
Right.
when that statement was made, Jimmy Butler did a Scooby-Doo and turned his head, you know, what? You know.
Wow, he's like, finally?
He got his, what was it, $51 million? He got 60. That for the next 2 years. Or six, what was it, 61? Or two, I thought it was 111 for 2 years. Either way, it's a whole bunch of money. So he got what he wanted, but he didn't get it from Miami. And by the way, he's going to a state. This is like the whole Luka thing. Luka got, he had, that move snatched $100 million off the table. Not only did it snatch that off the table, you now are going to have to go settle on $212 million, but yeah. in a state that ain't got the same kind of tax setup as Texas.
Right, right.
So, same thing with Jimmy Butler. He left Florida, no taxes. Now he got to go out to California and pay all them taxes. Anyway, I just believe this was a statement where we saw the people with the corner offices pull this league back and say, no, this is mine.
And I don't disagree with you, but I think it's more the money than pulling back.
But they're
going to
decide. You're right. But they're going to make the decision.
Yeah.
They're not going
to
be.
Yeah. Due to the money, now these owners are going to be way more advantageous to make more of these decisions and not give out these trades. Because if you're Phoenix, and this happened because they got a new owner who was just overzealous.
Right.
But if you're Phoenix, Bradley Beal's no trade clause is an albatross around your neck. This
yep.
is a problem. And the rest of the league are looking at that. We're like, okay, no more of these Supermaxes unless we get in the ring. So unless you're Boston or Golden State or whatever, Supermax is out. No trade clause is out. It's gone.
But having said that, if you want to listen to folks like Brian Windhorst, there's going to be a bunch of Brinks trucks that have the paperwork for the Supermax going over to Shea Gilgeous's house next year.
Because Oklahoma City see a future with him and Chet and all of that together, and they see him as the major piece, so they want to pay the Supermax. Great. But and that's a franchise that's been ready to be on the other side of winning ever since they fumbled the bag they had in the 2010s.
Yeah.
They completely fumbled the KD Westbrook Harden,
yeah.
and they Ibaka, they fumbled that. So now this is your chance to not do that, right? To not be cheap and go and try to actually get the championship. And you have some teams that are not in that let's not be cheap mold. And there's a lot of teams that just don't want to hit their Superman. And Dallas didn't seem to be one. That's the surprise, in my opinion. I knew the Supermax to apron thing would change the way team building is done in the NBA, but I think the Mavericks and the new ownership there showed how much is going to change team building in the NBA.
Hmm. I had a couple other questions for you, but we're up against it, and we get to. But I tell you what. Who gets the next one as far as the Supermax you see?
I think it's Shea, like you said.
I mean after him.
After him. Yeah, probably Wimby is probably seen as the next generational untouchable player. I don't think we've had anybody else.
Wow.
I mean, because it would have been a Zion, right? But Zion's in a worse situation, honestly.
Would you have done it for Morant up in Memphis? Not now.
Not now.
Yeah, maybe before the behavioral issues. Yes, Anthony Edwards. He'll be the next one.
Okay, yeah. There you go, yeah. Ant-Man. All right. Yeah, because he's making money off the court too.
Throw up the A.
That's who we watch for.
And does he stay where he's at? Do they make sure? I mean, he can get it.
It depends on them and where they feel like they're at maybe that second year into the Supermax, because I didn't think a player like Cat was going to get moved, and look what happened. So it just depends on what these owners and then the people that hold the purse strings, how they feel about who's getting the money.
All right, we are going to, again, switch gears back to the game. We got the Super Bowl tomorrow. We've had a guy from Kansas City a little while ago, and we, of course, now have to venture up to Philly. Our friend Gil Tyree is going to join us next. Always gives us an excuse to hear some Lou Rawls. But Gil has got the pulse of that city. But here's the other thing, too. Speaking of basketball, what is going on with them 76ers?
And you might be able to tell us.
I have opinion about that. But again, name is Paul George. That's all I'm going to say. Wherever he lands, there's just some craziness follows him. Anyway, so Gil's going to join us next. And also going to talk about Night to Shine, which happened on Friday night. This is Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow Foundation puts this on every year, and it was a special night worldwide. We're going to talk about that coming up. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. It's the 8th day of February. And I want to remind you, if you can't get in front of a TV, we got basketball for you, college and pros, Kansas State. And pregame is at 1:45, tip at 2. And then Hawks at Washington tonight. Pregame is at 6:30, tip at 7:30. Of course, we have the Super Bowl for you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Everything gets going at 2 p.m. Kick is at 6:30. And moving forward a couple days into next week, we're going to have Hawks at Orlando, 7 o'clock tip, and Alabama at Texas. Now, take a second and think about this. This is an SEC conference matchup.
Yep.
You got to remember that.
Yep, man.
Alabama at Texas. So
that's big.
Anyway, let's welcome our guest on here. He had him on just a few weeks ago. We don't normally have him this close back-to-back, but it's time for Gil to crow. He's going to talk about his hometown team. They're in the big game tomorrow, and it's always a pleasure to hear from Mr. Gil Tyree. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? And Greg, you know, I'm going to keep it real short. You know me. I don't want to get I don't want to get diarrhea at the mouth.
I didn't say nothing, did I?
Nothing, man.
I didn't say a word.
We're glad to get you this morning.
I didn't even send out a memo.
You don't have to say a word. I know I irritate you sometimes.
No, you don't.
It's okay.
No. It is never. No. Let's be straight here. Let's do this publicly. As long as you're gonna put our business out there, it is not an irritation.
No, Gil. Because you're right. Sometimes I go. Sometimes I go on and on and on and on, and I need to pare it down. And no, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's all love, man.
It is
all love with you.
It is with
you guys. I love you to pieces.
He doing it now. It is not an irritation. We are so happy to talk to you. We have so many things we want to ask you, and we hang up.
Okay.
Sam and I look at each other. We didn't get a chance to ask him that. We didn't get a chance to ask him.
And you still got your peeps here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That still want to enjoy hearing from you.
Absolutely.
Right?
I know that. I miss my peeps down there, and I miss y'all. You know how I feel about you, and I can't thank you enough for. Sam and Greg for just helping me, you know, stay relevant, and I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart.
So let me ask you this. We know what team you're going to go for, but I want to get into your broadcasting days and ask you, because I don't know personally, Sam might know this, how many Super Bowls did you physically cover, go to that particular city, and is that something that you miss?
I don't miss going to the cities for the Super Bowl. I've been to 3. Okay, and Greg, I just the hoopla, it's great in the beginning. In fact, the most enjoyable one was the one that was Super Bowl 30 out in Tempe, Arizona at Sun Devil Stadium. That's the one where Diana Ross flew in on a helicopter and did the halftime show.
Okay.
And did a wonderful job and had a chance to cover the one down in Tampa. When the Cardinals played Pittsburgh. So, I mean, they're few. And it's a great thing in the beginning. But, the days of Radio Row and doing interviews, man on the street, and you and Sam know that very well when you're asking people ad nauseum all the questions, that gets old. So for me to be able to sit back and watch this and analyze it is a joy, and I thank God for that.
Yeah. Spend his time on the waveport.com hotline. He's in Philadelphia. Gil Tyree, always ready to catch up with him. He is social. You can find him at GT6135. GT6135.
Right.
Gil, we saw this matchup a couple of years ago. But the rosters have changed, especially in Philadelphia. You see that being an advantage for the Eagles, and the Eagles can pull through and win it this time?
Sam, I do, Sam, and I think you hit the nail right on the head. The difference in the roster. You add better players defensively, athletically younger, and, of course, a lot of those are the Georgia gang, what we call here the Philly Dogs. Nolan Smith, and of course, Jalen Carter, and just, they're going to miss N'Kobe Dean today, but I think they still have enough. And, of course, the big fella, Mr. Davis, Jordan Davis, is going to play a big role today. But all of that being said, the one player that I think stands out in terms of them needing him to lead them to victory is Saquon Barkley. And I think all of that, plus you have additions to the coaching staff, but keep in mind, 2 years ago, Vic Fangio was a consultant for Jonathan Gannon, and he's now calling the shots right now from the defensive coordinator standpoint. And I think that'll come into play now. And trust me when I say this, that 0-8 record for Fangio against the Chiefs is a misnomer. And just throw that out at the window, throw that out and throw everything out in terms of that. Just get rid of it. When you and I and Greg talked early in the year, I said, after you guys had beaten the Eagles and the Eagles had struggled against Green Bay in the season opener and then lost right after they played the Falcons, they lost to the Bucks. That was a 1-2 start, and I said this season was headed for a disaster. But what they've done is they've done a nice job in correcting it. Vic Fangio has been able to get the guys who he's been able to utilize in that scheme, two of which have been, of course, Nolan Smith, and the ability and a rejuvenated Jordan Davis. And these guys have really come around and played, and then you're getting guys – like Mitchell, the kid from Iowa, has played well, and they have all blended together to give. Plus Bond and the linebacker position, they have come and they've really responded for Coach Fangio, and this team seems to be on the cusp of doing something special tomorrow night.
Gil, last week we have a guy who comes on regularly. His name is Terrell Thomas, and he talks NBA with us, and he's from Philly. And we talked to him last week about the game and the NBA and Sixers a little bit, and obviously he gave his pick on the game. But I asked him who was the most, in his mind, and now he's younger than all of us, and I said, who's the most beloved Philadelphia professional athlete there? And we went through a couple names, and we all landed on Allen Iverson, probably the most beloved. Talked to our own Mike Conti, who's from Pennsylvania. He brought up a name I hadn't thought about, but I could see how he would be, was Bobby Clark. What is it like right now, regardless of what happens tomorrow, where Saquon Barkley is in this, you put whatever list together right now, but in the short amount of time he's been there in that city.
He hadn't been there long.
I realize that, but it seems like from everything I can see and hear that's coming out of that city and the fact that they snatched him from New York, which is what is really the cherry on top, how is he looked upon in that city, just as far as just a citizen right now and being there?
Greg, he's getting to that rarefied air that you talked about and you so eloquently talked about, the Mount Rushmore guys, whether it's Allen Iverson, whether it's Bobby Clark, whether it's Will Chamberlain, whether it's Brian Dawkins, whether it's Richie Allen, Dick Allen, who just went into the Hall of Fame. There's so many guys, Chuck Bednarik. This city has a way of embracing someone who embraces it. And you talked about Saquon Barkley and his love affair. I mean, even though he grew up outside of Philadelphia, playing at Penn State helped him in terms of his resume, and everybody knew who he was when he was drafted by the Giants and what he had created in terms of his legacy. And he has really, really taken this city by storm. He and his family and everything that he's about, everything that he he espouses to be and continues, and his script is still being written. And he's going to go down in the pantheon to great Philadelphia athletes when this is all said and done. And what a way to cap it off. You know, his birthday's tomorrow. He has a chance to set a record. In fact, set the record that's still owned by Terrell Davis. And we know how much Terrell is beloved in the state of Georgia and what he's done. But this is a kid who has done things the right way. Not an ounce of trouble. Comes always with his lunch pail. And you know, in the city of Philadelphia, Greg, and Sam both, this city loves people who want to work, who have a high work ethic IQ, who want to be able to go 9 to 5 and then some and give this city all they have, whether it's leaving it out on the football field, whether it's leaving it out on the basketball floor, hockey arena, you name it, baseball diamond, you name it. Bryce Harper is in that conversation as well. They embrace you. They love you. And you will be beloved for life. And he's heading in that direction. He's not there yet, but he's going to have a Canton career, and this Canton career is going to have Eagle Green all over it.
Yep. Now you say that. Let me ask you about somebody else who's on the other sideline, who's been on your sideline, Andy Reid. How do people still view him there in Philadelphia? He's the enemy and the rival tomorrow, but how do people still view him there?
Sam, you know how I feel about Coach Reid. I love him. And Sam, you know, he and I go way back to when he was an assistant at NAU, Northern Arizona University. And, you know, his wife, Tammy, grew up in Phoenix. I have a strong, strong feeling for Big Red. And there's nothing Big Red could not do that I would disagree with or not like at all. He is still beloved here by a few, not many. But I think he's more beloved for what he did for the Eagles and created the culture that put them in a position where they're going to play for Super Bowls. You remember when Jeffrey Lurie bought this team back in the late 90s, and Ray Rhodes was let go. Ray Rhodes was let go, and in came Andy Reid. Andy Reid had a 14-year career, and during that 14-year career, the Eagles were relevant. They were playing for NFC championships. They were involved in a Super Bowl against New England. But still, he put the Eagles on the map, and he will be not only the greatest coach, if he's able to three-peat. He's Hall of Fame coach, you know, for Kansas City. But he is, his journey came right through Philadelphia. And I'm going to tell you something. I love the guy. I just love everything about him. He's always been good to me, and I wish him good luck tomorrow. I just don't wish him to get the Hardy Trophy, I wish him good luck.
You know what's crazy about this? Philadelphia has had two coaches that have gone on to win Super Bowls in other cities. I think of Dick Vermeil.
Yeah.
Right? Who went to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely, Greg. Absolutely.
And yet didn't get the chip until he went to St. Louis. And you know, you wonder what – and it was such a big span, though, between his coaching, because he was the original burnout coach. Right? Because he spent all that time.
Remember, Greg, too, the first Super Bowl Dick Vermeil coached in as a head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles was where they're going to play that game tomorrow in New Orleans. We were thrashed by the Raiders in the Superdome.
Yep, and the big Marcus Allen run. We remember that.
Oh, yeah, breaking through. Yeah.
So well. Gil, we appreciate you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, guys talking about the 76ers, you didn't talk about that fight with Oubre and Embiid last night, did you?
Well, no, we didn't, and I also didn't talk about how y'all got handled by Detroit either. I don't know what happened. Listen, we could do a whole show on it.
And Greg will get handled tomorrow in Milwaukee on the final game of Hubie Brown. And you know how Hubie Brown, how we feel about him in Georgia. What a wonderful career. And he's another resource, Sam and Greg, someone that I've always had a respect for. And I wish him much success in his retirement. 91 and still doing it, still getting it done.
We got three
guys. The Sixers will get thrashed tomorrow in Milwaukee. You know, it's a problem. It's a ship that's going rudderless, and you and I'll talk. We'll talk about that down the road. But what a disaster here for basketball!
Yeah,
what a disaster.
We'll get them sometime in the spring. We get start talking about the Phillies, and then we'll be sure to throw that Sixers conversation in.
most definitely.
All right, man.
Most
listen, definitely. Enjoy the game. Thank you as always. Okay. And I'll never want you to feel like I get irritated with you.
No,
all right,
man.
No.
Listen, Greg. You know I have a man crush on you. You know that, right?
Now you better watch it.
And
the wife is listening. No. Now you're going too far.
But you know how I feel. But I thank you for keeping me straight, because you're right. I do get long-winded sometimes.
Man, we love you, Gil.
We enjoy you, Gil. We appreciate
well,
it. We love you, man.
Okay.
Have a wonderful
right,
rest of your
care.
Weekend. Yeah.
All right.
I've been
all
fussing
right,
with some
too.
Folks. Between him and Tim Scarborough, I've been getting. I need a corner, man.
You're getting it today, man. Cut me, Mick.
Three all-time greats, as he was talking about Hubie Brown, exiting stage left at the end of their seasons here. Hubie's probably going to call it quits this year. We got the announcement this past week about Terry Bradshaw. He's going to be out. And
returning today.
He'll be back for this.
Returning today is Dick Vitale.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
And Dickie V.
Yeah.
So those three. 91. Phew. God bless him.
And still passing along the knowledge.
Yes.
To watch a game with Hubie Brown is to learn. You know,
that's the professor. He should have been given the name the professor.
Man, because he passes right, along the knowledge.
We got to shut up here. We're going to talk about a special night last night that took place around the world, thanks to Tim Tebow. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, February the 8th. John Fricke's going to come up here top of the hour. He's going to be talking about all kinds of Sam's over here air drumming. We've had a fun morning. We stumbled out of the blocks, and you know, we righted the ship, and everything has been fun. I got fussed at a couple times here and had some fun with some people, but I can take it. I can take it. And we've talked about I got to cancel this right now. My phone is recording. Look at this. Got two songs as an intro.
Uh-oh.
He did this because this song, I was actually, I was talking about this earlier. This song hit number one today. You ready? Did you say that, you know, walk around? Exactly. When you hear this, you can't do nothing but just kind of laugh.
Gosh.
Do you remember the name of the band?
I have no
idea. Or the
idea.
Artist? Right Said Fred. Right Said Fred. I'm right. Too sexy. Hit number one on this date, 92. So that's what we were throwing that out there. Thank you, Noel. before we get on out of here, happy birthdays go out to John Grisham. You got a John Grisham, a favorite book or one of his movies? I have a couple I like. I was curious. If
man, which ones?
I'll tell you, I love The Client.
Okay. He did the ones that Harrison Ford did, right?
Oh, yeah. Was it Ryan? I forgot the one. Yeah, I forgot Jack Ryan, I think it was.
Yeah.
But he also did Rainmaker. That was one of his books. But also The Firm, Tom Cruise.
Right. That was great.
So that's John Grissom, his birthday today. Nick Nolte, Ted Koppel, happy birthdays. Go out.
Nightline.
Would have been James Dean's birthday today. Would have been Jack Lemmon's birthday today. I will never forget Ving Rhames giving him his Ace Award. Ving Rhames wins the Ace. This is when the Ace Awards were given out kind of for just cable shows. Remember that?
Before they
all kind of fell under the Emmy umbrella. That was a thing. So Ving Rhames wins it for Living in America, his portrayal of Don King. He gets up on stage and he calls up Jack Lemmon and gives Jack Lemmon his award, saying that you were my inspiration. That big, tough old...
Right.
Mr. Arby's gives him his award. Also would have been the dude who came through here a number of years ago and set fire to the city, General Sherman. Would have been his birthday today. So there you go. Last year, I was a little embarrassed, and I told you this, and we talked about it on the air, that I had not known about an event that had been going on, and it was celebrating its 10th anniversary. And that was a thing called Night to Shine. It was put together by the Tim Tebow Foundation. And I want to say this properly because, you know, and choose my words here, and I guess that this is about the best way to put it. He is doing something for those families who have special needs people, not just kids. I think it can go up into their 20s, you know, can participate in this. But, you know, when I went to school, I don't know about you, I don't know about Noel, but kids with special needs were over here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were over here. And you saw them once in a while. Now, that got better, and it changed over the years. But one of the things that I would imagine was ever present was they unfortunately didn't participate in a lot of events, whether it was sporting events or whatever. And one of the things for sure, because I can never remember hearing from friends of mine who had special needs kids or ones that I went to school with throughout the years, was them at like a prom, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to send you to the website, and I want you to look this thing over from top to bottom and get all of it. But this is kind of an overview. So Tim Tebow started this event called Night to Shine. And it was a night where churches around the world participated and put on their own special night, a.k.a. a prom.
A prom, yeah.
For these special needs kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so last year, like I said, was the 10th anniversary. Friday night was the 11th anniversary. Now, I'm going to read you from our own David Ashburn.
Mm-hmm.
Head of sales here.
And then I got something with some...
And I'm going to turn things over to you.
Former so Georgia sent, greats. That
he sent me a picture, and David's... he had said this to this week, because I don't know, I was in here a week or so ago, and we were talking about... I was talking to Mike Conti about it, and he had mentioned that David was going to participate in it. This is not just his church. He, like I said earlier, David, you know, put his fingers in the dirt. He was volunteer. He was doing whatever it was needed. These people who are helping this event go off do multiple jobs. Now, the church we had last year and talked about was the church on Main out in Snellville. But mm-hmm. David's church is the First Baptist Church in Woodstock. So he sent me this, and he said it was an amazing, amazing night. Man, I've done some pretty cool things in my life. This one was one of the best. This is a guy who gets credentials to everything sporting-wise in this city and all the big events. And he's telling this is one of the best things he's been a part of. 301 kings and queens on site with parents, loved ones, caregivers. 900, Sam, volunteers. 900 volunteers. God's love is amazing.
Yeah.
This is what I got from David.
Yeah. Well, what I got is with someone that people know from playing at the University of Georgia, Southwest DeKalb's greatest, Quincy Carter. And you can find it. He is social. You can find him at Quincy L. Carter. Posts some very nice pictures from last night. A number of his Georgia teammates. It was being held at the Dunwoody United Methodist Church. That's out on Mount Vernon Road in Dunwoody. And some of his former Georgia teammates were there. Orentis Grant, Travis Stroud, Matt Stinchcomb, John Stinchcomb, Terrence Edwards. They were all there and attending and watch the young men and women walk down the red carpet. And the photos there.
It's like a prom, but on steroids, if you will. It is really an amazing event. So I just want to, you know, direct you guys to timtebowfoundation.org, Night to Shine. You will see everything there is to know about this event. You'll see pictures from around. Now, think about this, Sam, logistically. So this thing started in probably, what, Australia, and then went around the world, because by the time it hit here on Friday night, it was already Saturday there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that follows, you know, the international dateline, and for him to put this together the way he has, and it continues to grow. And as you, like I said, scroll down through this on this website, you will see, refer your church. I'm reading it right off the site. Refer your church to host Night to Shine in 2026. Are you a pastor of a church that would like to host the Night to Shine 2026? And they walk you through how you can participate moving forward. We're going to talk about this every year. Like I said, I was embarrassed. I didn't know about it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that list of the players, the former players that were a part of it, you know, at various churches around the city here locally. But I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Like I said, this is something that... I landed on last year, and again, just embarrassed I haven't talked about it.
Like
but
says,
then
great, though.
We all know of people
mm-hmm.
who
oh,
have
yeah.
special needs
oh,
kids
very much,
that
very
did
much.
Not know about, at least the ones I've talked to, did not know about this, Sam. So when I told them about it, it was like, you know, one had, the kid had grown by, you know, he's a grown man at this point, and there is a cutoff point. I don't know exactly what that is right now, but it doesn't matter. You guys need to go to this website and check it out again, timtebowfoundation.org/nighttoshine. And it will give you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Get ready for the big game tomorrow. John Frick is coming up top of the hour.
I want to remind people, you know, on Sunday, we do three cheers and three jeers.
Oh, yeah, so that's our newest feature.
During the course of the week, what is three things that made you smile that happened sports-wise or maybe three things that just got under your skin and, you know, just why? And so three cheers. We look forward to you to do it tomorrow. I kind of got my list here. I think I'm going to be cheers this week.
I know I am because I was cheers last week.
Yeah.
And the cheers are too easy this week.
Yeah, they are. But I think I got some cheers. So three cheers, and I hope you'll share yours with us tomorrow morning.
There are those who also are old enough to remember the footage of a Mayflower truck on this date. This was the day that Art Modell took his team out of Cleveland to Baltimore. So that he couldn't take the name with him. He just took the team. Come on, Noel.
As soon as you said Mayflower truck, I knew exactly where we were going. Oh, that is some of the most hilarious. I mean, sorry, town. That's some of the most hilarious footage I've ever seen in NFL history.
Middle of the night sneaking out.
And the news crews are right there watching you. They see you. Ain't no sneaking out. They see you. Oh man, I'm sure it would have been all kind of tomatoes if they didn't sneak out of town though.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, the Mayflower truck. It didn't land on you. It left with your team.
that's for sure.
Hey, I'm going to give you guys four names here. You tell me, because we're talking about this, and keeping it in sports here. Jordan, Tiger Woods, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi. Mm-hmm. Would you say there are the four most famous, recognizable athletes on the planet?
We always talk about who is it that you drop them off on any corner and people will do it. And who will get the kind of reaction they got. Remember, Messi played in Miami and people like rushed the gates
right.
to try to get into it. I'm trying to think of another athlete people would do that to see. And then you think about a Tiger Woods in his prime.
Those people at East Lake will tell you Tiger Woods.
At East Lake, absolutely. The unbelievable, one of the most unbelievable sports scenes ever in the history of this town was at East Lake when Tiger Woods won there his last time.
So, I ask you, is there a person more famous than those four on the planet? That recognizable, that person. I'm not talking about an elected official or a pope. I'm talking about somebody in the entertainment world, sports world, if you will. There's one person that somebody brought up, and I went, huh? And then I mentioned it to somebody else, and I went, okay, I could probably see that. Tom Cruise.
Maybe.
That'd be the only person, though, right? You'd say, Noel, jump in here. Because they were saying those four athletes are the, as Sam said, you could drop them anywhere. Chances are somebody would know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did their, you know, stuff around the world, and everybody wears Jordans around the world. But it's Tom Cruise. Would fall into this category.
Well, I guess people like action movies. They go all around the world. Yeah, I can see.
Because again, we're talking about Asia too, in places where
right.
You know,
yeah. So. That's why I was like, yeah, those action movies go all around the world and things that they make those Asia safe. So yeah. I don't see.
You need to put that on a T-shirt. Asia safe.
And so, and you know, I'm good with euphemisms. And so I can see Tom Cruise being one of those. Being one of those.
LeBron wouldn't get
people.
That. LeBron.
I was thinking LeBron
that.
Too. I was thinking LeBron because he's so big in
guys?
Asia. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, big above them.
Okay. Right with them. Yeah, right in line with them.
Okay. Again, I was just. Because, see, when they said Tom Cruise, I was like, well, Harrison Ford been doing them the same kind of way, but he's older.
Are we getting ready to add a certain Los Angeles Dodger to that? As the Dodgers play their preseason games in Japan this year.
You can exclude Europe?
And he's not in South America?
I don't know. That would be my only reason to pause on that, because I don't know how much he's known in a world that soccer is dominated, baseball is not played there. And they not gonna, you know. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I get you saying Otani, but I guess we can bring his name up for consideration.
In this day and age of the tablet and the internet, and people can see whatever's going on in other parts of the world, even if you know they don't have it broadcasted locally. If you want to see it, you can find it. There's this person everybody's paying this large sum of money to see play.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, by the way, we're supposed to get to see him pitch, right?
Supposedly.
Possibly. Well, now they got that other pitcher, and so I maybe, you know, they use them when they need
them. The Dodgers are about eight deep in starting pitchers right now because they know people like Kershaw only going to start so many games and he's going to break down half the season, right?
They got like 17 Bobby Bonillas on that, future Bobby Bonillas on that team.
By the way,
it's amazing, man.
Speaking of Dodgers pitchers, did you see the nonsense that came out last week with Trevor Bauer going at it, telling people he could, there's only about three players that would get a hit on him or however he put it, and then Chipper Jones jumped in? And he goes, you know, something to the effect of, I love the comedy here on this. and then, you know, Trevor Bauer came back at Chipper Jones. So that was kind of interesting. Listen, we are out of here getting ready tomorrow for a Super Bowl-ready show. Give you a little bit of some NBA action, too, but still getting
and
ready
for
tomorrow.
And we want to know what's on your menu.
And your menu and who you're picking and all that other stuff.
Now. We're
going to have some fun with you tomorrow. Again, remember, if you can't get in front of a TV today, Kansas State, 2 o'clock tip-off, 1:45 is the pregame. And Hawks at Washington tonight, tip at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:30. And, of course, we will have Super Bowl for you tomorrow. The pregame starts at 2 p.m. Mr. Crenshaw, have yourself a wonderful day.
I'm headed to Georgia State. We got Georgia State women against Eastern Michigan. They're here from Ypsilanti, 2 o'clock.
Shout out to Ipsy.
That's at 2 o'clock today.
And well, you have yourself a big day. John Fricke is up next. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday morning. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.